Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome, everybody, to a very special edition of the East-West Wrestling Connection. The reason we call it special is it's a year-in-review show. We'll still be talking about the current stuff. Some interesting news that has come down the pike. And just get it in the year-in-review and the year-end awards and the very infamous Nikki Awards. We have the finals of those. We have expanded tonight's show from 1 hour to two. So we have 2 hours of wrestling knowledge, wrestling chat, all that good stuff.
And hopefully a few phone calls from our fans tonight.
We have fans?
I don't know. I've got one in my room and it's on.
Nice.
I know that doesn't count because it doesn't know how to use the phone, but please let us continue.
Yes, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do this through AIM. I go under the screen name MMXFan2. You can also call in at 646-716-9678. Or we also have the chat room available if you want to hop in the chat room and you want to chat with me or Nikki. Do you have the chat room up, or do you not particularly care for it?
No. Give me just one moment. Let me see if I can get in there. That's going to take me a minute. Let's go ahead and keep the show moving while my computer decides to stop.
I think you're in.
Oh, so you want me to just start off with the Nikki Awards?
No, because I want to tell everybody that, let's face it, 2007 was not a banner year for wrestling.
No, it wasn't, but it was marred marred up and down from various things, from just boneheaded decisions to events that just completely devastating the IWC to, I mean, you name it. We have not had a good, this has not been a good year.
Yes. Bad product, bad publicity, bad pay-per-views, some bad gimmicks. You name it, it existed this year.
Even if the WWE was snake bit, I'd spoken of that in a prior blog. I made the comment WWE 911. There, it's just been a horrible year between, he's had bad news, bad publicity, bad injuries, badly timed injuries. Just, and once you could get a storyline going, something would go wrong.
Exactly, and the thing is, it's the good storylines that went away. The bad storylines that have kept on continuing.
Have we figured out how we could fix that somehow? Let's
yes.
See. I'm on the
new
site.
Creative
how do I get
team.
In the chat room? Well, that too. How do I get into the chat room? I'm on the Blog Talk site now.
On the main page, you would enter the chat room. There should be something there.
Let's see. Register. On-air, featured, categories, popular, wait a minute, home. Good Lord, I'm just blind.
Anyways, let's get started, shall we?
Yes, please.
The first award that we'd like to hand out today is one of my favorites, Best Raw Superstar.
And who did you nominate, or do I go ahead and do I get to throw in a name myself?
You get to throw in a name. You're first.
Well, if you're talking for the entire year of 2007, I'm going to give mine to Jeff Hardy.
Do you have an explanation for that?
Yes, he's been exceptionally consistent. Granted, he's only just starting to break into the main event, but he has come back and proven himself. Despite all of the bad stuff we've seen from him in his latter part of his first WWE tenure, the disaster at Ring of Honor, and all of the chaos in and out of TNA, he's finally got his head on straight. He's finally focused. He's finally going to climb the mountain.
I agree with that for Jeff Hardy. However, I nominate, well, I might as well turn to my IWC card for this one. I'm giving my award to John Cena.
Even though he was only there for 9 months of the year?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm giving it to him because, let's face it, he's not Superman anymore. However, he still consistently gives us good matches. Sure, he doesn't have, you know, a Ricky Steamboat-esque work rate, but let's face it, he's gotten a decent match out of almost anybody that he's worked with, including Kali.
I'll give you that. You also realize he is a definite match of the year candidate in his 1 hour throwdown with Shawn Michaels in April when they were in England.
Yes, so we have that award later on. Actually, we could just do that right now. That is my match of the year.
I will absolutely second that. That match was the apology for what they did at WrestleMania 23. I was very upset and disappointed with the way that went. Shawn Michaels is a better wrestler than that. John Cena is a better wrestler than that. They just could not get on the same page. When they got to England, they realized, hey, we've got to fill some time. Oh, boy, did they ever. There was no rest in this match. It was beautiful.
It was like Ric Flair back in the 80s.
There you go.
Now we go to Best SmackDown Superstar.
Hands down, Edge.
I concur.
Hands down. Undertaker was wonderful in his role, but he's not done anything new or different. I know you're not a Batista fan.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
But Batista, wherever Batista has lost his favor, he's also seemed to have lost a step in the promo department and in the ring. He needs to go back and find himself. He really does.
Especially coming up with lines this year like, basketballs don't hold grudges.
Excuse me?
It was an interview in a promo that he had with the great Khali. In order to show his dominance of the Claw, Kona Crush.
Yeah.
He squashed a basketball. Went, pfft. And basketball goes, and Batista goes, basketballs don't hold grudges. Basketballs don't want to rip your head off.
And Dave, he's still bigger than you. But do not be afraid of a man who's actually afraid of falling down.
Who, Khali?
Yeah. I've only seen him fall down in two matches this year, against Cena and in the Punjabi prison match. Show me somewhere else during the year where he hit the mat.
Royal Rumble?
Floor maybe, but the mat?
And let's face it, the floor is harder than the mat.
True. But even then, I'm sure he landed on his feet. What's next?
You're going to like this one, and I think we might have an agreement on this one.
Right.
Best ECW Superstar.
I'm unfortunately heavily, heavily biased, and I'm still going to say CM Punk.
Well, let's face it, he's pretty much carried ECW since, well, the big steroid scandal.
And the fact that when he's walked into ECW as somebody who is more what ECW would have been looking for if it still existed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why you saw tears in his eyes in the Hammerstein Ballroom. The IWC stood up and said, welcome, thank you, and embraced him and had kept and continued to embrace him no matter how good or bad WWE wanted to book him. I had the honor, and I had the honor of being in Cincinnati the night that CM Punk won the ECW title. I could have gone home. They did ECW first that night, by the way.
That was the night where they suspended pretty much almost half the roster.
Admitted, and we weren't very nice. When John Morrison came down to the ring, we were chanting, you're suspended. But even... I think even if that list had not come out, it may not have happened that night, but I still think by the end of 2007, CM Punk would have been ECW champion.
Without a doubt. Now, I want to give an honorable mention. Now, we'll do honorable mentions throughout the night through various categories. I would like to give an honorable mention for best ECW superstar to Elijah Burke.
I can accept that.
Because if you've seen earlier in the year, like May, June, July, April even, great, great matches with CM Punk.
excellent matches. He is a joy to hear on the mic. He has wonderful charisma. He will be a heel champion in 2008.
Now, breakout star of 2007 for WWE.
Who really jumped out there? Kennedy tried and fell on his face. Santino Marella.
Yes, because there's only one superstar who'd ever won a title in his first match and has ever had a vicious turn and has gotten Maria by his side. Santino Marella.
Santana.
Santino.
Oh, God. Sandusky.
Santino.
Santico?
Santino.
Santoco?
Santino.
Santokyo.
Santino.
Sandinista.
Santino, my name is Santino Marella.
I didn't even get to San Luis Obispo or Tuxedo.
Close enough.
Honorable mention to Chris Jericho, so there.
Honorable mention to Chris Jericho for you?
I shouldn't say that. He can't be a breakout star. He already did.
Oh.
However, I'd like to. I got to give him. Do we have anything that I can give Chris Jericho besides a hug?
Yes. We have a special award coming up later for his cases.
All right.
Right now, we're going to go into a category which probably is not much of a contest because, well, you know, best TNA superstar.
Given that I admittedly am a sporadic viewer of TNA, I'm going to give it to Christian Cage.
Huh?
I give it to Christian Cage.
Christian Cage?
Consistent.
Consistency counts. How about the person you really saw breakthrough this year? Black Machismo Jay Lethal.
He runs away with that. I mean, he took the Black Machismo gimmick, which I will guarantee you probably was a five-minute thing. It was going to be a couple of months, and then we'll go back to it. He took it to the stratosphere. He hasn't come down yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd just eats it up. It is to the point that even WWE venues, they will confiscate Black Machismo shirts. They're scared of how well Jay Lethal does this.
It's uncanny. It's like Macho Man Randy Savage is in the room. And to think, they're thinking about having SoCal Val being the Elizabeth role.
I'd watch that. Some people would consider that blasphemous. I would watch that.
Let's face it, it's a parody of the Macho Man. But it works!
It's parody and tribute at the same time. That's why it works.
And plus, they're pushing him right. He's the ex that, when he first started in, he started out as a jobber, you know, per usual. Then he started winning matches, you know, steadily building. Proved himself in a match with Jeff Jarrett back in 2006 to show that he belonged. You knew from that match against Jeff Jarrett, I think, in July.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Impact after Victory Road.
Okay.
He proved himself in that match.
I
fought Jeff Jarrett.
And I enjoyed his work, even though he didn't win the match. I enjoyed his work at Lockdown, where he was dealing with the burgeoning Motor City Machine Guns, Shark Boy and a couple of other people in the opening escape match.
Yeah.
He was the one racing Saban down the far side of the cage.
And Saban won and kept his X Division title.
But it wasn't to stay that way.
No, because I think it was Slammiversary.
I was there at Slammiversary.
Jay Lethal up on the top rope. A la Macho Man Randy Savage nails Chris Saban, pins him clean in the ring, 1-2-3. Jay Lethal becomes the X Division champion. Chris Saban and Alex Shelley form a great tag team in the Motor City Machine Guns. And guess what? They're teaming up together right now.
Against Team 3D and Johnny Devine at our up-and-coming paper, Final Resolution, thank you.
Yes, and we will talk about that later on the show.
Exactly, we'll get to that.
I have an honorable mention award for TNA.
All right.
Honorable mention this year goes to Tyson Tomko.
For finally showing the personality that we knew he had that nobody would let us see?
Yes.
Isn't it, to
mention he's also a fantastic wrestler. For proof, I think in two, three weeks, there's going to be a special on for TNA when they're in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Watch his work with Giant Bernard, a.k.a. Prince Albert, A-Train. That will show you excellence and what he could really do.
And it's interesting that they're letting that happen in Japan. That's exactly where he went when WWE just dropped him right after WrestleMania 22. He said, "Okay, you guys aren't doing anything with me anyway. I'm gonna go learn."
And he has learned so much,
and look where he is now.
Yes.
And, again, I didn't do it, and I refuse to do it, although someday I want to. Mr. Tomko, can I get a beat? Somebody did that to him at Bagels, Biceps, and B. Carter's before WrestleMania 22.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was the same. No.
Classic line.
Wonderful. And he's a wonderful guy. I'm glad I've had the honor to meet him.
I think you almost have a picture of not almost everyone, but really close though when it comes to that active TNA roster. You just got to get the knockouts again.
I do have to do another round at the Slammiversary Fan Fest at the time of Slammiversary. I did have everyone on the active roster recruited.
Uh-huh.
Even Bob freaking Backlund,
who made a great appearance at the Raw 15th Anniversary Show.
It was good to see him there. It kind of surprised me to see him there. But I don't know the details of his... I didn't know the details of his working with TNA. Was he out of his contract? Did he get special permission? You know, this was a one-shot deal anyway. Is he done with TNA?
I think he's done with TNA.
Okay.
I think he always said that he wants to do another run. He could go a full schedule for one more year. That's always his belief.
I hope somebody out there hires him. The man's got an amazing work ethic. Is probably I will consider him the conscience of wrestling, given the things that he was saying at Slammiversary Fan Fest.
Yeah. Now, here's one that's probably going to be harder for most people who listen to the show because I don't think most of them get Ring of Honor.
And it's going to be very hard for me. I haven't been keeping up.
I've kept up with it a bit, you know, reading spoilers and seeing stuff on the internet throughout the year.
All right.
I can't afford the DVDs. I, however, can't afford the pay-per-views. So, best Ring of Honor superstar.
Whose name keeps popping up? I could go with a very safe bet and say American Dragon Bryan Danielson.
American Drag Queen.
I'm not a fan of his either.
But yes, he's come back and he's actually doing stuff, you know, that he hasn't done in a while. Lost. Lost.
Oh. Now, I've been hearing a lot of good things about the Briscoes being there.
Jane Mark Briscoe?
Yes. Whenever I hear their name come up, there's usually something good behind it.
However, something bad has happened to them just last weekend.
What did I miss?
They lost the tag titles.
To whom?
Age of the Fall.
Oh, no.
What's wrong with Age of the Fall?
No, I shouldn't say that.
Actually, it's a really good stable that they got going. Jimmy Jacobs, Tyler Black, who's killer on the independent circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Necro Butcher is just insane.
Yes, that's usually the word that comes with Necro Butcher. And I've seen Jimmy Jacobs in action. I do like his work.
And they also have Lacey there.
Well, of course. And Jimmy Jacobs follows along behind her like a little puppy dog.
Except this time, Jimmy Jacobs has taken the lead.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. He grew a set. Good boy. Good boy.
Exactly. My greatest Ring of Honor superstar, I'm giving it to Chris Hero.
Okay.
Winner of Survival of the... He won Survival of the Fittest 2007, if I'm not mistaken. It was Simmer Austin Aries.
No, I'm pretty sure it would have been Chris Hero.
So he's got a title shot on the way, and I want to see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great just to see the pros between Chris Hero and Larry Sweeney.
Oh, no, oh, my Lord. There'll be nothing left of the ring or the microphone or the fat ref.
Yes. And that's my honorable mention for greatest Ring of Honor superstar, Larry Sweeney. His promos alone win him that one.
The video you sent me was just unbelievable. I know a couple of good hands on the mic that would look at him and say, "Can I borrow you for about 5 minutes?"
He's killer on the mic. And plus, he's not that bad of a wrestler. He's actually quite good.
Good. That's always a good thing. It's very hard to find somebody who is a complete package.
And that's what Larry Sweeney is. However, I think it's a safe bet that he will not go to WWE.
No, he's too good.
No, he's too short.
Ooh. That hasn't stopped me. Go ahead.
Larry Sweeney's only 5'6".
Right.
He's hardly taller than Rey Mysterio.
He is, because I'm taller than Rey Mysterio. And I'm not exactly...
the reflection of perfection.
I'm not exactly basketball material, I'll put it that way. I'm not taller than Matt Sydal, who's not exactly a giant in his own right.
He's what, 5'7", 5'8"?
If that.
Yeah.
And he has foregone Ring of Honor and has been... I believe, I don't know if he still is, but he was Ohio Valley Wrestling's champion in December.
Yes, he was crowned that last month.
I had the honor of running into him the second Saturday where they do their shows in Cincinnati, and he was walking around, and he had the belt on. So I was listening, you know, I walked up to him as well, and we all asked if we could get pictures with him and if we could put the belt on our shoulders. And he said, "No, actually, I've got to leave it on until Sunday."
Amazing.
If, you know, as long as he wasn't wrestling or showering or doing something that would damage the belt, he had to have the belt on at all times.
Right.
And he even wore it to meet, greet, and eat after the show.
Amazing.
He's a great guy. He's a very intelligent man. I share a birthday with him. I hope that I can reflect a similar intelligence.
You know, I would like to see Matt Sydal come on. I think he'd make a great U.S. champion, since I think they discontinued the Cruiserweight title.
The Cruiserweight title is on hiatus. I honestly think someone in WWE might have had a similar thought that I did back in 2006. If Rey Mysterio is capable of being the world champion, then weight limits are irrelevant.
I had this weird idea that they should repackage the Cruiserweight title as sort of like a TV title.
If they could bring it back as a TV title or the European belt or some just under B title, I would love it to be turned into the TV title, taken over to ECW, and expanded to 2 hours.
I don't think
ECW
will expand to 2 hours. I don't think it's getting that good of a rings for... It'd be considered after renewal after this year.
Well, I can hope. But when the roster's only 15 people, counting Armando and the dancers, It's sad. So what
it's
else
dire.
Do we have here for awards? Sorry?
It's dire.
Indeed.
Let's go to Best Independent.
One of the best that I've kind of been enamored to is Ohio Valley's Colt Cabana.
Colt Cabana is a really good choice.
He is a great guy in person. Wonderful, wonderful comedy wrestler. Oozes personality. Very solid in the ring. A lot of fun to watch. Definitely somebody who could be the future of the business.
I've seen him in a couple of Heat matches, and I've seen some YouTube stuff when he was in Ring of Honor.
Did you happen to see his Heat? I don't know if this one was televised. It was him and, I believe, Monster of the Midway, Jake Bradley, versus Goldust and Gene Snitsky.
I don't think that was televised. I think that was internet only.
This was the Raw right after WrestleMania 22. I have a picture that I gave Mr. Cabana.
Internet only then, because I think Heat and Velocity went off the air when they jumped to USA.
Right. In this particular instance, Snitsky put Cabana on the mat, took off his boot, took off his sock, and threatened to lick his foot on live television.
For me, best...
go ahead.
I want to give best independent wrestler, although I haven't seen a lot of independent wrestling lately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give... Well, it's going to be a double award for me, though.
All right.
Because not only does he wrestle on Ring of Honor, but he's wrestled almost all over the place. And he's just insane what he does in the ring, you know. Sure, he's a spot monkey, but he's a good spot monkey because he could actually wrestle in some shape and form.
All right.
And I'm a homer. I'm going with Jack Evans.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mainly also for his work in WSX, the first match of WSX. Him and, I want to say, Matt Sydal set the tone.
I did see the first show. I was not terribly keen on the show. I watched it because Matt Sydal was there. And then I saw the main event and never watched it again.
With the bling ladder?
With the bling ladder, with the explosion box and the electrical box.
All CGI.
And X-Pac in the main event.
Good
What's wrong
point.
With this picture, ladies and gentlemen?
X-Pac in the main event.
Thank you. I will give an honorable mention in the indie scene to a tag team that I've met and have enjoyed watching periodically throughout the year, the Irish Airborne, formerly of Ring of Honor. They're actually close to my area. Dave Chris lives in Dayton, Ohio.
What about Jake Chris?
I believe they are sharing a residence. Or within spitting distance of each other. I will double check that. They've been splitting their time with Dynamic Championship Wrestling in Piqua, with a new group called American Lucha Corps, run by New Horror Sammy Callahan, great wrestler. Escapee of the Heartland Fiasco is starting his own promotion. Great guy.
Heartland Wrestling Association?
Which folded in early summer of this year.
Okay. Now let's get to the flip side.
Yes.
Worst Raw Superstar.
On Raw... Yes, unfortunately, it is my bias, but it is still fairly true, and it's still going to be Randy Orton.
Wow, that is biased.
Randy Orton has been in and out of trouble so much over the last 18 months, I am still amazed the man still has a job.
Let alone the world title.
let alone the world title. His name was on the list, but just because he fessed up to it earlier in the year and took a suspension then, he gets rewarded with this push. He breaks up a hotel room in Europe, does six figures worth of damage, and is sent home, and still can get a title push.
Which goes to show the power of nepotism.
So, no, I want to know what ransom photos he has. I will give you this. He has improved. I do not approve where he is on the roster because of his behavior.
I completely understand, and he doesn't set fire to anything either. Maybe outside, but nothing in particular.
Mm-hmm.
For me, worst Raw superstar, it's a tie.
Okay.
Hornswoggle and Vince McMahon.
I'm saving Vince for another category.
Oh, yes, I'm saving him for another category, too.
Hornswoggle, I kind of give a pass because Hornswoggle falls in the same category as characters like Kane and The Undertaker. He's a lot, because he is based on a fictional creature, he can do all the weird and crazy stuff that he has done on the shows. I will give that a pass. I don't have a problem with it. I know a lot of people in the IWC do. Vince McMahon, like I said, I'm going to save him for another category, and we're going to be getting to it momentarily. So.
Right. Worst SmackDown superstar.
Let me pull up the roster real quick so that I don't make a mistake.
Well, you pull up the roster, I'll tell you mine.
All right.
I'm going with the Great Khali.
That's probably where I'm going to end up.
Great Khali?
Because Khali can, as it's been shown, Khali does not speak English, so it's very difficult for us to have a promo from him.
Unless it's done by Ranjan Singh, who, coincidentally, isn't that bad of a promo guy.
No, but he's also not going to get huge respect because he's a writer.
Right.
Khali cannot wrestle. He knows maybe three or four moves, which is one or two more than the Boogeyman. And as I mentioned earlier, he doesn't fall down.
Right.
And yes, I know that's part of his character, that he's supposed to be pseudo-invincible, but I'm sorry. Even big guys can get knocked off their feet. Ask Mark Henry.
I'll throw in ask Big Show.
Even Big Show fell down for Rey Mysterio. Big Show laid down for Rey Mysterio. But I think that's more respect than anything else.
Right.
So, yeah, I will concur on Khali because everybody else on this roster has something to contribute to the show.
Honorable mention time, once again, for worst SmackDown superstar. Vicky Guerrero.
That's a solid honorable mention. I realize that Vince McMahon wants to give her something to, you know, help keep income coming in for her family, but she needs acting training. She sounds horrible on the mic. Tonight was no exception. I'm not terribly upset with the whole thing with her being romanticized by Edge because we know some of the circumstances that was supposed to be Crystal. I don't understand why she wouldn't have a problem having Edge all over her. I volunteer. Get Vicky Guerrero off TV. I'll have Edge all over me. Can I have the other two? It's a triangle. I'm happy.
That means Edge becomes the new, never mind. anyways.
Sorry, that's a horrible tangent.
Yes.
I'm going to sit here and blush for a minute, okay?
Don't worry. You can end the blushing right now. Worst CCW superstar?
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
second worst. That's honorable mention for me. Worst is the Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman hasn't been on TV enough for me to warrant the attention.
Doesn't matter. He's still worse than Vince. Anybody who's worse than Vince gets the award.
Vince McMahon had the gall not only to put the ECW title on himself. I realize this is a storyline, but this was just absolutely shootastic of him. The night after he did that, he walked up to every last one of the originals backstage and insulted them. Wasn't it bad enough that he was wearing the belt and he couldn't even have the decency to go have a real one made? They're still wearing a High Spots replica.
You're kidding.
It's not a real belt.
That's because they couldn't get the real one off of Rhino.
If they could somehow get Rhino to leave TNA and come back, that would be the storyline they would do immediately. Rhino could walk in and spear the shit out of anybody on the ECW roster, hold up the real title, and say, try and take it from me.
And odds on, if it was, you know, done to perfection, they won't.
No. I actually speculated a storyline with this back earlier in the spring. Or Rhino could have shown up and had a wonderful feud, where he could have gotten the belt, where he wins, unifies the belt, as in throws away the High Spots replica, after having just this huge, brutal match against Bobby Lashley. And we would
that
would have
been
had,
the match.
I would have paid a lot of money because it would have been just as brutal as Lashley and Umaga without the McMahons involved.
Listen to, well, I want to tell you something about Bobby Lashley. He is a good, solid wrestler.
Yes.
I'll give him that. And all the credit to Finley for helping him get there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one problem, and that's his voice.
It's the same
problem. He's a monster, but he sounds like a cruiserweight.
I know. This is another reason why a lot of people call him Black Lesnar. Because Lesnar had the same problem. Huge bear of a man with a little bitty cub voice.
And that's why Brock Lesnar was best when he was teamed up with Paul Heyman.
When my dear uncle was coaching him, yes. I still have fond memories. My favorite thing with that pairing, I forgot who Lesnar was killing in the ring. But here's my uncle just leaning on the apron, watching this like a little kid watching cartoons. Loving every minute of it.
That's
Lashley,
because Paul's the David Koresh. He loves watching that kind of stuff.
And I wish he would come back. I really do. I think
he's still trying to push the Heyman hustle.
I think he's trying to hustle his way into Hollywood, but I haven't gotten a call back on it.
I think everybody's still reeling from his brilliant performance in Rollerball.
What? That was Oscar worthy material. Oh, my bias is showing, excuse me.
Yes, about as Oscar worthy as The Condemned.
Bite your tongue! Oh, by the way, Condemned and Game Plan ended up on somebody's list of the worst movies of last year.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not shocked that... let me check up something right now. I'm going to check IMDb.com.
Please. While you're doing that, would you like me to rattle off my the Nickies, or do you need that much time?
No, because I just need to check on one thing. The Condemned... Got it.
All right.
Let's see. 6 out of 10.
That's generous.
I for sure would have thought this would have been at least in the bottom 100. Oh, listen to this. You want to know who they got for this movie?
Hmm.
Nathan Jones.
Nathan Jones has shown up in a lot of movies. The man is making better money and is probably keeping himself in better shape doing this than he would have ever done with wrestling, which is a shame. I thought he was going to go somewhere and not stay in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Nathan Jones before his WWE debut. An independent league named WWA did a show, and it was a real who's who and who's that kind of show. They had Jeff Jarrett. Nathan Jones got to throw Jeff Jarrett around. And they did a sequence where Nathan Jones grabbed Jarrett on one side of the ring. The two of them swung around, and Nathan Jones plants Jarrett on the opposite side of the ring by the ropes.
Unbelievable.
And it scared me so bad that I was so looking forward to his WWE debut. I was so looking forward to watching him come in and destroy people like Lesnar was doing at the time. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I guess they already had one big hoss there to push heavily.
They worked an angle where I think he ended up not working WrestleMania that year because they were so scared that he was going to screw something up.
Yeah. Now, this one's going to be my favorite.
All right.
Worst TNA superstar.
Karen Angle.
No, not for me. Not even close, because she could actually talk and has some worth to her.
Mm.
I'm going Black Reign.
I think he's got a great concept. It's the execution that's a little suspect.
The execution is not suspect. It's just, you know, a blatant Goldust ripoff just with the insanity that was Mankind.
Right.
Done badly.
And unfortunately, whenever I see Dustin out there in civvies, he's looking more and more like his daddy every day.
Which is kind of
ironic.
Which
is not a compliment. And it's not a compliment.
Right. Plus, it's also ironic now that both of them are the same work rate right now.
Okay, that's just not nice.
He was... well, guess what happened to him? He was one of the first... New Age nepotism people. No, go from starting in 1990 on.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin was the first one, I think, followed up by Eric Watts.
Okay.
Because in his first few months in WCW, back when Dusty was back in the saddle again, along with his buddy Jim Herd and Bill Watts.
Right.
Dustin had almost every title put upon him except for the world title. And I think Dusty was pushing for this, but everybody said, no, we have an awesome champion, awesome heel champion in Vader. We're waiting for the right time so we could either have Cactus put the belt on Cactus, or we put the belt on Flair. And they made the right decision in putting the belt on Flair.
Right.
Now, another thing about this Black Reign gimmick, Misty the Rat. The most docile rat this side of Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's appropriate that they have a rat in Orlando. If you're from Florida, you got that joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Disney World and all that stuff. And let's not forget, the darkness, his darkness falls web, which is basically a hammer with a spike.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Can't be any worse than to be edited in later.
Or this unknown box that he kept dragging out.
Well, I, to be honest, I didn't see enough of his gimmick to really, you know, what you've told me and what I've heard, a lot of people don't like it.
I guess I should bring up this now.
All right.
WrestleCrap.com, one of our favorite websites. Right, Nikki?
Yes.
They have the Gooker voting. And I'm surprised for TNA Superstar, you said Karen Angle. You didn't even say Pac-Man Jones.
He's not a wrestler. Now, I got in an enormous argument with somebody in the last couple of days about this. That I simply said if the NFL wasn't going to let TNA use Pac-Man Jones as a performer, even if it was just to go in there and swing chairs, they should have just gotten their money back and dropped the whole thing. He's like, oh, no, they couldn't do that. When they first announced it, I had a problem with it. And I still kind of do. Pac-Man Jones was suspended for the season from the NFL.
You know what's ironic, too?
What's that?
The team that he got suspended from is now in the playoffs.
And I hope he's at home wiping tears from his eyes that he can't be there.
Well, he's already got a championship under his belt, so he could retire a happy person.
Well,
he won't be missed.
No, he won't. I just, I was just horribly offended at, I saw him at Slammiversary. I think he worked Slammiversary.
He did not work Slammiversary. He came on afterwards.
Afterwards, I'm thinking of Frank Wycheck. I'm sorry. My apologies to Frank Wycheck. But I just thought it was a very bad call.
And Frank Wycheck actually was legalized, got cleared to do all this stuff, was given to go ahead to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was done.
Now, it was apparent, whatever bug the NFL had up their butt about not letting Pac-Man Jones do anything, especially since he wasn't going to be able to do anything anyway because of the suspension, I really think TNA should have looked at the NFL and says, if we can't use him, then we don't need him. I did not watch that 3 months.
It's just, it was the creative team. I blame the creative team, and I blame the booking team on that one.
And once again, I could have been a hero at Bound for Glory, at Lockdown.
Yeah. We got the Vince's son angle up for Gooker nomination.
You can't really blame, I don't know if I want to blame creative or not. Some of this has to go to Ken Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, some of it is going to go to Ken Kennedy.
Because Kennedy did two things, and I hope he wins a Gooker for this. The man goes on the record that he's clean.
And then gets busted.
And then that gets busted just before the biggest angle that could have put him through. Put him through the glass ceiling, got him into the main event.
Now I think he's forever doomed to be mid-card.
And, yeah, Vince doesn't forgive stuff like this very easily. And it's sad because it was so perfect. I was in Columbus when Kennedy stood before all of the McMahons and made the proclamation that it should have been.
Right. And then we got...
Go ahead.
Now, this one I wish should be nominated no matter what.
Okay.
Or inducted no matter what.
Okay.
Rosie versus Donald.
Yeah. That was just silly. And there was one good thing that came out of it. The guy who played Donald Trump has a job.
Ace Steele.
Ace Steele is a wonderful guy.
Which really wants me to have in ECW, start them up in ECW and then work their way up. Colt Cabana, Ace Steel, CM Punk. Bring back the Second City Saints.
I'd love it. I would love it. I would find my way to more ECW shows if that happened. I don't think it will, though. I know Vince better than that.
Right. Speaking of him,
mm-hmm.
He's up for Gooker this year.
I wonder, does he get it every year, or do they save it for other people? They should just give him...
He was inducted in part of it in 2001, 2005.
Surprised it wasn't more often.
2001 for the Invasion, 2005 for Dr. Heine.
You could have
this year's for ECW champion.
Thank you.
And then we got Stomper. The TNA mascot.
Didn't they try that with WCW? Garrett, do you remember this?
Wildcat Willie, and yes, that got inducted. You want to know who was underneath all that garb?
Who that?
Leaping Lanny Poffo. They actually paid him all that money to just do goofy stuff in that outfit.
He'd spend a couple of years running around in a goofy outfit spouting poetry. Why not?
Well, he was actually wrestling at the time. So that nullifies.
Well, yeah, but he was still running around in a goofy outfit spouting poetry.
Right.
That still makes him better than Heidenreich. Onward.
The Diva Search.
Deserves a gooker every year. Really? But thank God they took it off television this time.
Well, Diva Search won in 2004. It came close in both 2005 and 2006.
Granted, I'm sure somebody somewhere says that is great train wreck television. And
now
this
it's
is another
great,
one.
Now it's great train wreck internet watching.
And that's why I'm so glad it is off my show. I had gone round and round with somebody about this. I told them I don't tune in to Raw for a beauty pageant. And while we have a winner, they usually pick up three or four of the other ones anyway, so why bother with the competition?
Good point.
Pick six of the chicks. If you're gonna keep doing this, just pick six of them, hire them.
And actually train them.
And train them before you put them on TV.
We're looking at you, John Laurinaitis.
Just, dude, hang it up.
However, John Laurinaitis is known for thinking with his dick rather than his head. Mind bring up the giant baba tail.
That's okay.
I'll just briefly explain it. John Laurinaitis slept with Giant Baba's wife while Giant Baba was on his deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now this one, I think we're going to hear you go off on.
All right.
The TNA Blindfold Steel Cage Match.
Is up for a gooker?
Up for gooker.
Good.
Okay, we'll move on.
I'm sorry, that match was slow. The match was just not in the least bit entertaining, and everybody chanted Fire Russo through the whole match.
That was actually the second Fire Russo chant, because the first one, I believe, was the Last Rites match.
That was a different pay-per-view.
But still same chant.
Yes, indeed. But I will add a bit of a note to that. After the show, after lockdown, we were back at the hotel, and Mr. Storm was quite pissed at the fans for crapping all over that match. I'm not about to apologize. Great guy, but that was a horrible match.
Right. Speaking of horrible matches, Cena versus K-Fed.
Useless, useless, useless sports entertainment crap that didn't need to be on TV. K-Fed didn't even deserve the paycheck. Sadly, he's saner than Britney.
Popo Zhao.
I'm sorry?
That's all I got to say about that. Popo Zhao.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how I said Black Rain was the worst TNA superstar this year?
Yeah.
Up for Gooker.
They're welcome to it.
Artie says, I so want to write this induction.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then this one.
Okay.
Eric Young versus Robert Roode.
For a gooker feud?
Yes.
I can do better than that. Hornswoggle versus Coach.
Good point. And out of all those 10, which one would you pick?
Oh, all that for the Gooker Award?
Yep.
Vince McMahon, ECW champion.
Okay, we'll click on it, submit vote, and oh my God.
Am I right?
No. Eric Young versus Robert Roode is winning.
Why?
Most confusing TNA angle of the year.
Nah, I don't know about that. I'm gonna give the Feast or Famine briefcase fiascos post pay-per-view as confusing. Matt Morgan's supposed to be keeping these things under lock and key, yet they're sitting out in a room where everybody could have walked in and switched them around and done quite a bit of damage to them.
Yes, blatant ripoff of Deal or No Deal. And let's face it, Jeremy Borash is no Howie Mandel.
No. And I would rather watch the sign guy Deal or No Deal than the TNA episode where they were in no apparent hurry to open the briefcases.
Right. And just a brief off-topic note when it comes to Deal or No Deal and his partner show, 1 vs. 100.
All right.
They actually did it.
Oh?
They gave away $1 million on 1 vs. 100.
Awesome.
It was on a special new chain, new money chain, new way to give away money. And somebody knocked out all 100.
That's awesome.
And he gets $1 million, and he beat 100 women to do so. Now, granted, some of them were smart women.
What are you saying?
A few of them were strippers, a few of them were models, and I think two of them were from American Gladiators.
Oh.
Exactly.
Okay. I thought that was a blanket statement. Go on.
What were you thinking, award for WWE?
Hornswoggle as the bastard son.
Agreed.
Because it has brought about good and bad comedy.
Wait a minute, there was good comedy out of this?
There's stuff in there that I liked. But I confess at times I am very easily amused. That includes just the moment of the actual reveal and the absolute look of disgust on Vince's face and the fact that Hunter was about to piss himself. He was laughing so hard.
Let's also take into consideration that the creative team thought it was a brilliant idea to have Hornswoggle, a grown adult. He is an adult. He may be small, but an adult nonetheless.
Right.
Vince actually put him up for adoption.
I'm surprised we didn't get a phone call from what's their names, from the TLC show? Little People, Big World?
Yeah, Little People, Big World.
I expected a phone call from them going, what are you guys on?
Well, I can tell you what the father is on. He's on a pedestal holding up a prison sign. DUI will do that to you.
Yeah.
Idiot. I'm sorry, no offense to midget people, but if anybody does that, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I got an honorable mention, what were you thinking, award.
Alright.
I'm going to get a little... I don't think I'm going to get much heat for this one, but...
No.
Oh, well.
Try.
I am going to say the What Were You Thinking Award is also for the Vengeance Night of Champions. I'm throwing that entire pay-per-view under the bus.
Oh, the Night of Champions retaining?
Yeah.
It is. It's a very bizarre thought to put together such a structured pay-per-view, and then not do anything with it. The only title that changed hands that night was the women's title, and that didn't even make sense.
Candice Michelle.
Which I still, you know, get well soon, Candice, but I'm sorry, you're still not a convincing wrestler to me.
Y'all know where they found her?
John Laurinaitis was up too late one night and saw a GoDaddy commercial.
No, he watched Dodgeball and got her from that.
Candace, you could be making more money and saving your life through movies.
Yes, playing slutty people.
And doing your dance.
Exactly. Another, now let's go to What Were You Thinking Award, TNA.
Despite the results, despite where it went, Kevin Nash wants to revamp the X Division.
Wow.
You didn't even like the PCS?
I saw bits and pieces of it, and it was all right. It just didn't compute.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it gave us Black Machismo, Jay Lethal, and Sanjay Dutt, the Guru. But it was one of those things when it started, you were like, "What? Get out of there!"
And then it ended like, "Wow! All
right,
personalities. He actually made it work."
Yeah, and the fact that he made it work is very impressive. But when you walked into it, wouldn't that be the question in your head?
Yeah.
But if you want that question to go all the way through, I will go with the whole chaos with Abyss, Sting, Judas Messiah, and Sinister Minister.
On that note, What Were You Thinking Award? I'm giving two awards to this one because they're equally bad.
All right.
I'm throwing Black Rain under the bus again.
As you are wont to do.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, but I've never been a Dustin fan.
That's fine.
And plus, I hate rats. And another one for What Were You Thinking?
All right.
I'm going to go with the sports involvements this year.
Oh, bringing it.
Base Brawl 2, like
mm-hmm.
we needed another one. And this one was without Bobby the Brain Heenan to save it.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Wycheck, I give a pass to.
He did all right. I had no problem with what he did at Slammiversary.
Right. Hermie Sadler.
Mm.
Who made Don West look credible.
Oh, you're talking the NASCAR guy.
Yeah.
I want him to take Don West's job.
You'd rather have Hermie Sadler than Don West?
They both know about the same amount of stuff about wrestling.
Zilcho.
And Hermie has a decent voice. Don, he doesn't have to scream.
Yeah.
And that gives the added effect that Tanay can act like a sane, rational man.
Good point. And I'm throwing Pac-Man Jones under the bus, too, for What Were You Thinking?
I'll give you a hand with that one.
I also want to point out that the last match that Pac-Man Jones was in
uh-huh.
also showed a great tag team and went nowhere with it.
Mm-mm.
Run the Truth Killings and Consequences Creed.
And
nothing.
And nothing. And Killings is elsewhere.
Killings is in AAA in Mexico. And Consequences Creed is going to be on the new NWA wrestling show on Colors TV on the 17th.
All right.
Debuting, and it's on the Dish Network.
Okay. I have heard whispers that a few people were going to try. I don't know. No, was it Killings or Senshi they wanted to get back? With Senshi pretty much done with TNA. I think he was the one they were actually whispering around to try to get him to go back to WWE, but I don't think they'll take him.
No, but I would love to have him back in Ring of Honor.
He just doesn't seem to be done yet. He keeps showing up. I'm like, dude, you've been on TV more since you got fired. Maybe that's what everybody else needs to do.
Right. However, this provides a conundrum. What if Black Rain decides to quit? I shudder what would happen. They might actually put the strap on him.
Shh, not so loud. Somebody might be listening.
Dutch.
Vince.
No, I blame Dutch more than I blame Vince.
Boot, 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 boot. I'd like to boot them both in the butt.
The only way you can kick Jarrett in the ass is you gotta kick Dutch in the head and Russo in the testicles.
I'm gonna need to write that down. I wanna use that sometime.
Got it.
The only way to kick, yeah, I can apply that to some managers. Anyway.
What were you thinking, Ring of Honor Award?
That one I'm not going to be able to do.
I can.
All right.
As much as I'm going to get some flack, putting the belt on Nigel McGuinness. Now, hear me out on this one.
I haven't seen his current work, so cause I thought
no,
he was
he's
really
a he's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
However, not a month into his reign.
Uh huh.
He gets injured, and he can't wrestle for, like, 4 or 5 months. And they're keeping the belt on him.
No, that's horrible. That's not his fault.
Here's
what
Ring of Honor needs. This is what I loved back in the old days. The 30-day defense rule.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be implemented in Ring of Honor.
It does. I mean, Even WWE follows that. That was a huge plot point when Edge went and pled his case to Teddy Long.
Yeah.
Why did you take? You didn't even give me a chance to try and defend it. It's like, Edge, we know what happened to you, and you're not going to be available to wrestle for 4 months. We're not going to do that to you. Shoo. Go get your pec fixed.
And they're doing the same thing with John Cena. He's getting his pec fixed.
And he's ahead of schedule, so attention Cena haters, sell your WrestleMania tickets because he might show up at WrestleMania.
And what are the odds that he pulls a Hulk Hogan a la WrestleMania 9?
He's not going to go in there and win the title. He's not going to be that ready. He might go in there and cost Orton the title. Which
that I can dig.
Personally, I would hope that would get some forgiveness from the IWC.
You know what I would love to see John Cena do?
Turn heel?
No. Show up at the Royal Rumble and cost Orton the belt there.
Do you realize the size of the party I would be throwing when I got back from the Rumble if Jeff Hardy won?
Would you pay for my plane ticket?
Look into that. If you can get one for under 150, I'll talk to you.
Okay.
I'll write you a check.
Nice. Income tax? Going to Ohio. We'll probably see a OVW taping.
I'll give you.
Oh,
I can give. It's real easy. It's just plan for the second Saturday.
Nice. Now, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry, just hit the speaker part. I should, tell the phone number again. 646-716-9678 to call in. We'd love to hear your comments and all that good stuff.
We take comments, questions, complaints we'll be hung up on, and please don't prank call.
Yes, because I could hang up on you.
At the touch of a button.
Beep. Okay. Holy shit moment.
Ah. I gave you a holy shit moment, too. I'd given you one earlier, and now I've forgotten it. Ah, yes. Holy shit moment of the year, Chris Jericho's re-debut.
Yes. However, for me, holy shit moment, I'm going to Shimmer for my holy shit moment.
Okay, you're taking me to uncharted territory. Talk to me.
I'm going to Shimmer Volume 9.
All right.
The match between Mischief and Amazing Kong.
Uh-oh.
I showed you a clip of that before.
Uh-huh.
where Amazing Kong, in one of her signature moves, reverse torture rack and just crushes and bends back the spine. Having your legs kicking the back of your head, does that four or five times and slams you down.
Ouch. My body doesn't bend that way.
I don't think anybody's does, unless you're a contortionist.
Or RVD.
Who could act... You've heard of his RVD lift. He's got a lift named after him.
Yes, where he does a double arm curl while doing a split between two chairs. I've actually seen, I don't know if it's the lift, but I've seen him do it. Not in person, but I've seen it.
I have too. I have this DVD.
Honorable mention for holy shit moment. I was actually there for this. Jeff Hardy's suicide leap off the super stunt ladder onto Edge, who's prone on another ladder, straddled between the ring apron and the guardrails, WrestleMania 23.
That was a holy shit moment right there.
Honorable
mention, holy shit moment. What do I do? Who do I give it to? Let me think.
I don't. No, you wouldn't give it to him. You wouldn't give it to him because of your bias.
I'm going to give my next holy shit moment to...
All right.
The birth of the Age of the Fall.
Okay.
Jay and Mark Briscoe went through a brutal match. I forgot who they were facing. I think it was No Remore Core.
Mm-hmm.
Won their match, and then out comes Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black. We got little reaction. Well, Tyler Black got little reaction. Jimmy Jacobs got somewhat of a reaction. And then when they saw Necro Butcher come into the ring, bam, the crowd popped. And they just got decimated.
Yeah, I knew you were... There was another one I thought of, but I knew you wouldn't pass it along.
And what would that be?
Batista's leap of faith between the Punjabi prisons.
Now that was sick.
That scared me, and that scared him. And you can see the look on his face when he was walking up the ramp. I'm never fucking going to do that again. Oh, sorry.
Just imagine that if he missed.
That I worried about, because there's about 15 different things that could have gone wrong, not counting the fact he was 10 feet up in the air.
I also think that he would have been a... I think he could have cost him his life.
Yeah. He could have gotten his leg caught. He could have missed clean. He could have broken an arm on the way down. It was just... There was so much all bad that could have happened.
Okay. Biggest black mark in wrestling this year.
That one's way too... That's actually... There is a toss-up there. I have two.
Okay.
Although, really, the one that had the bigger impact was Benoit.
Yep.
That was mainstream. That is global. The IWC was devastated. But the rest of the world was like, ooh, what was that?
And then came the investigation all throughout. However, some good news is coming out right now about it.
All right.
The Benoit's and the Douse's, Nancy's family.
Right.
And Benoit's dad. They have settled.
Good.
They're going to split it down the middle, so each of them will like get between $1.5 to $3 million.
I understand that Mr. Benoit was actually a little frustrated because that they did have to bring in legal counsel to take care of that, and that cut a $500,000 to $600,000 chip out of what was left of the estate.
Right, because Michael Benoit wanted to, you know, just split it right down the middle to begin with.
Right, and why did I need a lawyer for this? I told you this at the beginning.
Right.
That poor man, really.
Mm-hmm. That's one, and I have a second one to go under that, but Benoit's
right
up there.
Okay.
I'm throwing Nancy Grace under the bus for this one.
Now, which one? Because she did several shows on this.
I'm all of her stuff that she did, I'm throwing it under the bus.
Okay.
Because Nancy Grace proved that she's just a big mouth when it comes to talking issues. Anything that she'll do to grab ratings, because she needs them.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, have your closest person come on, which would be Mark Merrow, talk about this and have this messed up list. I swear, I want to see this list. Because I can pretty much refute about 40 or 50 of those names. I saw Adrian Adonis' name on that list.
Mm-hmm.
I can immediately refer to them because he died in a car accident.
Well, see, that list, nobody looks at what, because Owen Hart's on that list.
And he died of a fall.
Right. There's a few guys on there that died before 50 from other things. And you can sit there and go through all the testing and see if you can trace it all the way back to the steroids. But
I saw Bam Bam's name on that list.
No.
His was heart attack because, let's face it, the guy was not in the best of shape. Agile as he may be.
Right. He still was carrying way too much extra.
And let's not forget, let me try to think. Oh, yeah, he saved someone from dying.
Right.
He risked his own life to save someone, so he still had all that smoke in him.
Right. I bet Mike Awesome was on that list. The man committed suicide. That's
yep.
different. You can't. If you want to do an investigation about stuff like that, get your facts straight. Get your list narrowed down, and do your homework. Because people still don't even have an accurate clue of steroids. They think that you can buy steroids at GNC.
You could have bought IcoPro on GMC.
But I'm just saying, people don't know enough about steroids. People do not understand what steroids can do to the body. People don't understand how many different types of steroids are out there. There are still, they're probably not on the banned list. There are some that are on the banned list that the guys don't know about. This is a really bizarre mess that's come up. And unfortunately, Vince McMahon is now getting multiple, just enormous scrutiny from the press, including that mockumentary.
And what was the mockumentary?
I forgot the name of it. The one that CNN did. Death Grip.
Oh, Death Grip.
Was so slanted against wrestling. I mean, I don't know if this is just all the karma catching up to Vince McMahon, or if indeed it may really be that bad. I don't think it is. I really think somebody wrote that whole show as a witch hunt.
Right. And ironically, there's a bit of truth to it.
No, there's truth to it, but it is skewed and magnified in such a manner that I'm just a little offended.
I kind of would be too if I ran a multi-million-dollar organization and my name was being dragged through the mud for something I did not do.
Exactly.
And so, plus, from the Benoit stuff, it was roid rage. There was an imbalance, and it was a bit of roid rage because of that. So,
I disagree.
Well, I'm going by what the doctor said. So. The doctor released a statement.
Well, if roid rage actually lasts 3 days, I think we would have had a few more murders by now.
Good point.
That's why I'm willing to go with what Mr. Benoit found out when they did the brain tissue samples and, you know, pointed more towards the concussions. It's probably a little bit of both, along with family stress. But,
and who knows, not to sound stupid, but maybe Kevin Sullivan was doing some voodoo.
His name came up. We know, we have a pretty good idea of how, but we're never going to know why.
Why Nancy left Sullivan for Benoit?
No, why Benoit did this.
I don't think. Somebody would have to build a time machine in order to figure it out.
The one thing that I kind of, I almost give a benefit of the doubt, and if this means I'm condoning a murderer, you're not listening. Benoit's suicide was penance. He's been to Japan. He probably knows what seppuku means.
I don't.
Seppuku is ritual suicide.
And that's what it looked like?
The fact that he used his weight equipment and didn't go to another part of the house and medicate himself to death, when he hung himself from his weight equipment, the business, it could even be seen symbolically that the business killed him.
Right. You know what? I think we need to get into a more happier note. Or sadder. I want to make an announcement that I know sometimes you like watching a train wreck wrestling show on TV.
All right.
That's because I'm pleased to announce that ESPN Classic will be airing Herb Abrams Universal Wrestling Federation.
You mentioned.
Yes, the Universal Wrestling Federation ran by Herb Abrams. You'll see a mixture of stars from, you know, the WWF, WCW, NWA back at the time. Quite interesting in what you're going to see. However, I should point out that the show is not good whatsoever. As I type in the initials, here's a list of awards that it won.
Okay.
From David Meltzer's stuff. And this was all located in Los Angeles, California.
All right.
Herb Abrams was the head booker from 90 to 92.
Okay.
Then Zug's Riff took over in 93. Quit in March 2004, left Abrams to book the 94 card. And then Zug's Riff rejoined as vice president, helping to secure new television deals with both Sports Channel America and Prime Network. However, Abrams left in 96, marked the end of the company, and Blackjack Brawl would stand as the final UWF show.
Mm.
The tape library is owned by former wrestler Al Burke, and is now partnered with Todd Okerlund of Classic Wrestling, prepackaged and licensed the library through DirecTV and ESPN Classic Canada, and ESPN Classic United States will run the half-hour episodes originally done in ESPN2 back in 1995.
Okay.
It'll begin airing this Monday in the 1 and 1:30 a.m. Eastern time slots. Now, what that means, it will be over on the West Coast at 10 p.m. It'll be running opposite the second hour of Raw's War.
Right.
Now, here's the original announced team. When they first started out, it was Herb Abrams and Bruno Sammartino.
Interesting.
Then, in late 1990, I want to say November, December, Craig DeGeorge replaced Herb Abrams as play-by-play man.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Tolos, a.k.a. the coach, replaced Sammartino's commentator in 1992.
All right.
And you ask anybody about Craig DeGeorge and Bruno's commentary stuff, and they'll tell you that. Wrestle crap!
Ah.
There was a shoot going on between 1991, May 20th, 1991 TV taping in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Herb Abrams was owed money by Steve Ray, and Rawlings suspected that Ray was sleeping with his wife.
Oh, wonderful stuff.
So, during that TV taping, Abrams paid Steve Williams an extra $100 for the night to break Ray's nose. The ensuing shoot aired in its entirety on an episode of Fury Hour, which was their TV show at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Yes.
Right. They had some decent wrestlers on here. They had Luna Vachon, Terry Gordy, Johnny Ace, the Killer Bees, Rock and Robin, Candy Devine, Paul Orndorff, Bob Backlund, Ivan Koloff, Cactus Jack, Bob Orton Jr., Steve Williams, Bam Bam Bigelow, Dan Spivey, Johnny Ace.
You mentioned
AKA John Laurinaitis.
I know.
And several others that wrestled in that organization.
All very familiar names.
It won, here's some of the awards that it won from the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
All right.
Worst television announcer in Herb Abrams, who beat out... I don't know who he beat out. I think, there wasn't many wrestling announcers in 90.
Shivani and Heyman?
No. Probably, Bob Cottle. All
right.
Worst promotion in 91? It beat out WCW, believe it or not. Worst television show. And worst major wrestling card in 1994 for Blackjack Brawl.
It's not the best way to go out.
Yeah, it was the last thing. Mick Foley even stated that it was not a great place to work.
And that's hard for him to do, because he rarely has a negative word to say about anybody.
Well, Herb Abrams was a known druggie.
Mm-hmm.
He even signed David Bruno Sammartino. So there you go.
Okay.
So we'll all be there. I got it on the DVR to enjoy the crap.
Oh, my.
I wonder if Artie and Blade are listening to the... Or if one of them's listening to the show. Maybe.
They would have called by now.
Good point. Blade, maybe, because I find out he listens to my music show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of them listened to the wrestling show, but who knows? Now let's talk into some current wrestling.
All right.
Raw, first Raw of 2008. We thought it would start great. And, yeah.
Well, technically it was New Year's Eve, so we haven't had our first Raw of 2008.
Good point.
So we do get next week's Raw with Raw Roulette.
You know who I wish would be backstage to do that part?
Mr. Bischoff?
Yes.
I wish we had some of the guys that were there from the last Raw Roulette, because condemn me or commit me to wrestle crap, but the Capture the Midget match was still one of the funniest things that happened that night.
Commit.
Accepted. the midget, Hurricane, a stagehand, Terry Reynolds, Rosie, running all over the building with the Benny Hill music blaring in the background.
I invite you to come sign up for the WrestleCraft forums.
I might have to poke my head in there at some point.
No, we really want you to sign up because I think a lot of them will be jealous about the pictures you have.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Actually, you got pictures with Punk, MVP.
That I finally got my picture with MVP. I forgot to put my coat back on. My camera still has not forgiven me for it. For those of you who haven't seen this picture, I'm going to have to tell this story real quick.
Go ahead. We got time.
Okay. It was a snowy night in Pittsburgh. I had gone up to, I believe it was the Circuit City, just outside of Pittsburgh proper, to go to this autograph session. It wasn't horribly cold, but, of course, the heat was on in the building. I come walking in a T-shirt, I believe Mr. Seidelman referred to it as a Bill Cosby sweater, and my long coat. This sweater is one of the most comfortable sweaters I have ever owned. It is also probably the loudest sweater you will ever see. I wear this typically when I'm attending cold weather shows, and this day would be no exception. I'm near the front of the line when Mr. Porter does finally arrive, fashionably late. And in the process of getting our stuff ready to step up and shake hands and take pictures and such, I didn't put my coat back on.
Oops.
So needless to say, my sweater, which is louder than MVP's bling, might have killed my camera.
Sorry,
but
to
I'll
hear
find
that.
Out. That's all right. I'm going to find, actually, the camera did very well at Armageddon the following night and will continue to be tested starting tomorrow when I attend a SmackDown ECW house show in Canton. For anybody else looking for me on the schedule, I am going to the Royal Rumble.
I want to see a sign.
Besides my E-Fed characters coming in at number 27.
I want to see a sign promoting this show.
I'll see what I can do. I can't guarantee anything because I've been horrible about making signs even for this show, for the show tomorrow. I rebuilt my Tommy Dreamer sign for tomorrow's show.
Oh, he's wrestling?
It's a SmackDown ECW show. He usually does the house shows. I had the pleasure of talking with him about the Tom E. Heyman cameo from the Halloween ECW show.
I bet Taz and Joey Styles got a blast out of that one.
They just weren't allowed to say his name, so they would say, well, who is he supposed to be? Man, he looks familiar. I would have keeled over and fallen off the couch if Taz or Joey had said, I might know his niece.
I would too.
No such luck. However, I did get several responses of, why is Tommy dressed as you?
Right.
So I asked Tommy, why did you dress as me?
And he said,
well, did you laugh?
And I said,
yes, I did. But next time, you got to put the pillow up higher if you're going to do me.
All right. Let's see. About Raw, JBL's back, and he looks like he's going to be feuding with Jericho until WrestleMania.
I have more information on that, if you would allow me.
Allowed.
Confirmed for the Royal Rumble, JBL versus Chris Jericho. Damn it. Jericho had to be in the Rumble. I needed him in the Rumble.
Well, who knows? Maybe they're bringing some people back. Maybe Steve Blackman's coming back.
I'd welcome him. If his neck is up to the task, I would welcome him back.
Well, he's been off wrestling for a few years. He's now teaching MMA.
Again, as I said, the door's open. I would love to see him come back. I'd love to see Rob come back, but he's not. I already know that answer.
see what else was going on. Oh, yeah. Looks like Regal is might be starting a face turn, helping Hornswoggle. Ugh.
I wasn't terribly keen on that either, but I'm gonna hold out a little bit.
And then probably the saddest news, Triple H not in the Rumble.
Which is a shame, but I hope that doesn't mean he's off the card.
I imagine, you know, a squash match between him and Regal.
That might not mean he doesn't get in the Rumble. Some people will work twice.
I think Jericho will work twice.
I would love it if he'd work twice. I want him in the Rumble. I really do.
Let's
but
see.
I've also discovered that I'm a horrendous Jericho-holic right now.
Maybe we need a healthy dose of Ralphus.
Blah.
Cured.
Armbar.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Armbar.
Number one, arm drag.
Number two, arm bar. Number three,
the moss-covered, three-handled
family credenza.
What in the hell is this guy saying?
Get the hook.
Yeah.
For the record, Jericho said... Go ahead.
Oh, and Beth Phoenix, still women's champion. Nobody cares. I haven't seen less of a reaction since Mantar.
Don't make him show up.
Well, Mike Halleck's retired anyways.
Oh, I know, but we kind of chuckled when we heard when Santino brought up Mantar.
No, I actually looked up his matches.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, they're not half bad. He would have made a decent, if they would have given him, you know, another gimmick aside Mantar.
Right.
You know, maybe his Bruno Bruiser Mastino gimmick that he had in the ECW back in 95-96.
There you go.
I'll even take Tank of the Truth Commission.
There you go.
Now we move forward to the ECW show.
Which I really didn't think was all that bad.
It was actually quite good. I enjoyed myself. Looks like we got a new competitor for CM Punk now that John Morrison is champions with Miz. We got Chavo Guerrero Jr.
Which I think he deserves the shot. And storyline wise, it makes sense. If Vicky can't get Chavo up into the main event on SmackDown, she can pull some strings with Armando.
And I think that's what pretty much happened. However, he's going to beat Punk first in order to get a shot, and he failed.
That he did. I'm also very excited you mentioned Morrison. The Miz Morrison versus the Redneck and the Reject in a 15 Minutes of Fame match next week.
And it's for the title.
These guys have really, really turned it up in the ring. I'm a huge fan of Morrison's. I'm a huge fan of Jimmy Wang Yang's. Shannon's really starting to come back around. Miz has improved. I'm sorry, man. If we ever meet, I'm probably going to slap you.
Yes, him. You know who I'd really smack first before I'd smack Miz?
Who?
Horseface herself, Melina. Why aren't you doing anything?
Oh, that kind of smack. I'm sorry.
No, not that. I would smack her in the face, maybe make her look better.
Now.
Anyways, I think we found the writers actually reviewing a little bit of the old ECW and applying it to the new ECW.
And what makes you think that?
Colin Delaney.
Ah.
Colin Delaney debuted last week against Shelton Benjamin. Looked like Mikey Whipwreck of the days of old.
You aren't the first one to point that out to me. I've had a couple of other people bring that up. And you're probably right. And we'll see more of that after they scrape him off or pull him out from under one of Big Daddy D's boobs.
I think they did that, and I think he's probably booked for next week's show.
Okay. Because that was something else we joked about. We wanted Big Daddy V to show up at the Rumble, and somebody knocks him off his feet, and Colin comes crawling out from under the boobs going, finally, somebody found me. But
I like the fact that ECW is implementing a good use of jobbers.
Given how small their roster is, they don't have much of a choice.
Good point. Or they make them work longer matches.
True.
However, I could accept either longer matches or a good variety of matches with jobbers, which is why I loved the programs of the early to mid-90s. Sometimes you get matches of decent length, sometimes you'll get about 5-6 matches with jobbers in them.
Right.
And that's why I kind of like TNA back in 95, I mean 05 and early 06.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you'd have jobbers, like La Negra.
Mm-hmm.
Which is brilliant.
Right.
So, not much to say on the ECW front. Now, Impact I have problems with.
The Night of Gauntlets.
Yes. Pretty much everybody on the roster got a match that night. A Vince Russo theory at work.
And there was some good stuff in there, but they didn't really... When I think gauntlet match, I think of WWE style.
Not TNA style.
Which was Battle Royal / Royal Rumble rules leading up to a one-on-one.
Right. Right. For the, I want to start with the, what was it, X Division?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember who won that one. It looked like Petey Williams won that one.
Petey Williams and his wondrous new gimmick, which has grown him some mic skills and quite a set of muscles.
Yeah, Maple Leaf Muscle, Petey Williams.
That's quite the view. A few people have also been calling him Mini Pump because he's been hanging around Scott Steiner.
And you know what's interesting about that?
Hmm.
Not only does Petey Williams have a guaranteed world title shot, he's also in line for an X Division title shot. I can honestly see him taking the belt off of Lethal, but I do not see him taking the belt off of Angle or Cage.
Unfortunately, no, but that's seeing Petey in a title in that high of a title match, I might even consider making the drive to go see Final Resolution. I have an open offer from a friend of mine who is going to get the pay-per-view and has opened his door to let me come by and watch.
I would go by and watch the pay-per-view because just for one match alone.
And that is?
Ultimate X. I know they're using it early this year, but it's worth it. Team 3D and Giant Divine versus Motor City Machine Guns and Jay Lethal.
Ah. I've got a non sequitur question. I mean,
okay.
It's not relevant. Jimmy Rave is in TNA now.
Yes.
Has nobody told anybody in the Impact Zone they're supposed to bring toilet paper?
I don't think so.
Do I have to go to an Impact show with a couple rolls of toilet paper?
I think he'd love that.
I think I'll get thrown out, but they'd probably let me back in just because Jimmy Rave would get it.
Yeah.
I have a picture of all of that toilet paper from Survival of the Fittest 06.
Once I get some money coming in, when I move actually, when I start to get money coming in, I'm going to order some Ring of Honor DVDs. I really got to.
Okay.
One of them will be Survival of the Fittest 06, just to see your infamous spot.
What, the fact that I almost got run over by Delirious and Matt Sydal during the finals?
Yes.
And then I have the picture to prove it?
Yes. Hey, you got to support my co-host, ladies and gentlemen.
Indeed. So in continuing to support me, do I have a moment for my award section?
You have a few more minutes because we got to go after the last three gauntlet matches. And
I'm sorry.
A big storyline going on.
Yes, please.
We'll go over with a tag team gauntlet match, and Motor City Machine Guns won, however, it came at a price.
Mm-hmm.
Where Team 3D held their arms down and kayfabe broke their wrists. So it looks like they would have the upper hand for... looks like they have the upper hand for Ultimate X.
I'll forgive the pun. I thought it was a good match. I just had one problem with it.
What was that?
Somebody please tell Kip James to stay out of Tori Wilson's closet.
Do you think he might be in the closet, so to speak?
Not with what he was wearing to the ring that night. But for those of you who missed this, he was wearing trunks with cherries all over them, garters, and these weird leg thingies that started just above the knee. I wouldn't wear them.
Somebody tell Rico we found his wardrobe.
I still say he stole it from Tori. And with her on the shelf, she might have even willingly loaned them to him.
Actually, you want to know who she's with right now?
Who?
Nick Nemeth.
Rico, I found your new tag team.
The natural Nick Nemeth.
That's hurting my brain. That is horribly, horribly, horribly hurting my brain.
What, Tori Wilson and Nick Nemeth?
Oh, I thought you meant Nick Nemeth and Kip James.
I can actually see them as a tag team. It'd be Billy and Nikki.
Yeah, I can see it.
We just got to get Rico back to manage them.
I'm surprised he didn't show up for a special cameo at American Gladiators. Can you get a Legends deal for that?
Yeah, I think his Grand Championship match will be coming up soon.
Okay.
And a little spoiler, sadly, he does lose, but he only lost by about a few points.
All right.
Very competitive match.
Oh, dear. But we have strayed once again.
Huh? Well, now we're going to get right back to the women's gauntlet. Where it was only six of them. I think it was more. Let me count. ODB, Jackie Moore, not Gail Kim. Amazing Kong, the Porn Stars, ODB,
you already
said Brooks. Miss Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Christy Hemme.
That's seven.
Rex DeLovo.
Eight.
Okay.
Which was won by a strangely over ODB.
Plus she was over in Ohio Valley.
I liked her work in Ohio Valley, and at least she knew how to dress.
Yes.
Somebody get her a stylist. Rico, could you? I don't care if you put her in pants. Just get her out of those stupid one pieces.
Yes, she does not look good.
They look horrible on her.
She looks like a trucker. At least get her a pair of trucking shorts. You know, like the ones that the UPS delivery guys wear.
Seriously, and just, you know, let's get her back to the ball caps, you know, a shirt, you know, ball caps, tank tops, trucker shorts, and steel-toed boots.
Bingo.
Done.
Problem solved.
You know, I don't have, you know, my fashion sense is just, is the only thing I have for fashion sense is sniffing my clothes to make sure they're clean. So, that was probably too much information. Where were we?
Cosby sweater.
I like that sweater. It's very comfortable.
You see, you get the boat to dip. I'll give up.
Noah. Oh, wait.
Main event one.
Yes.
A whole lot of people. It came down to Kevin Nash and Samoa Joe as the last people.
I'm still having trouble trying to get this feud. I would think that Kevin Nash would just absolutely love Joe for being able to step up and shoot. Or is it just the fact that he shot all over Scott Hall?
I think it's the fact that he shot all over Scott Hall.
Who sorely deserved it for essentially ditching TNA.
Right in the middle when they were starting to push him again.
Seems whenever he gets money, he falls off the wagon.
Yeah. I think I just figured out an idea.
All right.
Pay him in booze.
No, don't pay him at all. Keep telling him you're going to pay him and he'll stay straight.
Or we'll give him a check. Or how about this? We pay you in an account. We'll have a special account set up for you. Whenever you need to get rid of money, you have to come back to us and tell us what you're going to do with those funds.
And
if it's anything for alcohol, we will not release those funds to you. We'll have a breathalyzer attached to everything for you.
No, we just track it, and you tell us what you need, and we will get it for you.
Okay.
Except
that
booze. Anything except booze. We will pay all of your bills.
All right.
But we will not buy you booze.
Perfectly acceptable. Now, we have to touch on one more storyline.
AJ?
AJ and Tomko. Tomko's on his own. AJ was supposed to make a decision, but is undecided.
I thought the "I'm going to lock myself in my room and go away, everybody" was a little excessive, but at times was quite funny.
I remember the fact that they brought the priest, and then AJ says, "Hey, MJ, he's a Christian minister. We're Baptists." And AJ makes his decision at the pay-per-view, and that's that. Now, fun time, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
We here present to you the second annual, first to be broadcast, Nikki Awards.
And as usual, this is the second year of the Nickies. I give awards to the individuals I've recruited through the year. I had a lot more categories the first year. I have cleaned it up a little bit.
Now, will you do the Nikki Awards? I'm going to finish dinner, which I started 2 hours ago.
My apologies. Please, eat. This is very, very quick and very easy stuff. I nominate a handful of guys out of the many recruits that I have done this year. And I picked the cream of the crop, the guys who have done the most since I've recruited them, even before I've recruited them. But we'll start with the new recruits. This year I brought in a lot of great guys, but probably the two best that I brought in for the WWE were Jeff Hardy and Chris Jericho. Both of them have done so much in their time with the WWE. Yes, Chris Jericho's only been here for 2 months, but he's blown me away with what he's done. The Save Us campaign was a lot of fun. I don't, you know, if you're a hater of that campaign, I'm sorry. I thought it was some of the most interesting stuff out there, even if there was nothing to it. Chris Jericho's even gone on a record saying, "I loved watching you guys trying to study it frame by frame." Jericho, thank you for bringing me this much interest in wrestling. My top acquisition from TNA, I had the honor and privilege of recruiting Black Machismo Jay Lethal at the Slammiversary Fan Fest. In fact, my picture shows us splitting a Slim Jim. Let's see. My new acquisition through OVW and the Independents goes to Colt Cabana. He should have been recruited in 2006. That damn camera wouldn't let me. I brought this up when I got to speak to him for the first time at an Ohio Valley show, and he was more than willing to accommodate me. Let's see. On to the re-signings. My top reacquisition for WWE, CM Punk. I had the good fortune of catching him once again right after WrestleMania. Now that he's an ECW champion, he's become even a hotter commodity in more than one sense of the word. Just for the record, some of the other nominees, believe it or not, RVD, who has only been with the company, for half the year, placed second. John Cena received zero votes. My biggest re-signing for TNA Wrestling. This is not a tie. It turns out I inadvertently recruited a tag team. I got my hands on the Motor City Machine Guns again. It's no secret that I'm a huge fan of Chris Sabin. I think he's gorgeous. I think he's a lot of fun to watch in the ring. Great character. Alex Shelley, very good-looking guy. I find him reserved at times, but he is no nonsense in the ring. These guys are so much fun to watch. I am looking forward to their match at Final Resolution. My biggest re-signing from OVW and the Independents. People might remember a certain superhero, the superhero sidekick in training, Matt Anoa'i, better known to most people as Rosie. I was more than honored to catch him after Fat March. He's dropped 70 pounds. He looks awesome. He even beat out his near relation, Afa Jr., where I had the distinct honor of watching these two as a tag team at an Ohio Valley show where Rosie was getting a tryout. I understand that Rosie has relocated to Atlanta, and Afa is actually honing his craft at Florida Championship Wrestling. Fingers crossed. I'd love to see these guys get back together. My diva acquisition for the year was pretty much fairly limited. I didn't put all the women on there that I should have. I did get Milena Rocha and Melody, the valet of Johnny Punch, two very good valets from OVW. But I guess the one I did get is pretty close to a wrestler, and that is Katie Lee.
A very fine British wrestler who worked for Shimmer, I believe, early on.
And she has a good shot at showing up on SmackDown, which is a shame. I would love to see her on Raw to be an actual women's wrestling. My final category is the Why Did You Recruit Him Award, given to somebody that, why are you even giving them the time of day? Just to show you the stiff competition, those entrants went to Matt Stryker, the Voodoo Kin Mafia, Truth, and Virgil. There's a reason I'm bringing this up, because you go to take a look, and the winner of the Nikki Award for the Why Did You Get Recruited was Matt Stryker. Virgil can't even win a Why Did You can't even win a Most Hated Award. Poor Mr. Virgil.
What do you expect? The only title that he actually won by himself was a fake million dollar belt.
There you go. I'm giving an honorable mention award. This is one that I offered the first year that I did not offer this year, and that is what I call the loyalty award. This goes to somebody that I end up recruiting over and over through the course of the year. This distinction goes this year to Tommy Dreamer. I've run into him multiple times this year. I still think that he's a wonderful man. I still think he can go in the ring. I hope that he is at least getting to put some creative input into ECW and hopefully get it back up on its feet and get it somewhere where Sci-Fi is going to say, we can't bear to lose this show.
I'm shocked that it's still on. And is that everything?
That is the extent of this year's Nikki Awards. MVP, granted, I recruited this year, but my awards had already been turned in. So I'm going to put him on the 2008 ballot. He'll probably fall under my Why Did You Recruit Him Award.
RVD or Dreamer?
MVP.
No, I think you'll get a best new acquisition. He's tearing it up.
And the fact that he's healthy, that they found a way around his heart problem, I'm very happy to hear that.
Yes. On that note, there's one more thing I would like you to do. Sum up 2008 in one word.
2008 or 2007?
2007 in one word.
I can do it in two.
Go.
Karmic revenge.
For me, one word? Dismal.
Yes. Indeed.
Or shambolic.
I'll give you that.
I got to throw in a Gordon Ramsay comment in there. Shambolic.
You're going to have to explain that one. But we're already out of time.
Yeah, we're already out of time, so this will be on the archive. What shambolic is, it's a Gordon Ramsay word, pretty much really uber embarrassing.
Okay.
Just pathetic in every sense of the word.
Mm.
On that note, we end the show.
Indeed.
It took 2 hours to get through everything. So we planned it perfectly.
That we did.
Well, Nikki, thank you for doing this with me.
Absolutely. You know I enjoy doing these, and I want to do these shows more often.
We'll do these shows more often once I... Well, I think we'll probably do one next Friday. Because Mom will be leaving until Sunday to hang out at Elma. Which is a town here.
I can make myself available. I'll be up for same bat time, same bat channel.
It'll be a regular hour long show, so at 8.
8 o'clock your time?
Yeah.
So 11 o'clock mine?
Yes.
Done. I can be there.
Okay, cool. Let's see. I'm getting a little confused there.
Let's see.
What would you say was your favorite match of the year?
My favorite match? Wow. That's gonna take some narrowing down.
I think we already did that. The Cena Michaels 60-minute plus fiesta.
Yeah, that's... If I'm going to narrow it down, it's probably going to end up being that one. That 60-minute match was just amazing.
Exactly.
And free.
Yes. Which you didn't get back in the old days. You either had to go to the arena.
Well, and again, I consider it the apology for their match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, they just... And plus, the entrances were really bad. That's why I don't get with the current WrestleMania trend ever since 2000, WrestleMania 21.
Okay.
They have to have all these dramatic entrances. You know, all this spectacular and grandeur.
I kind of like it, but it's not necessary. Although... Triple H is never going to live down his King Conan entrance from 22.
Gonad the Barbarian. That's what it looked like there. Gonad the Barbarian.
Yikes. I will have to take your word for it. I'm not into that genre.
No, it's what it's called at the WrestleCraft forums.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to a particular adult film that does exist.
Why would I buy the movie? I could look it up on the internet. Anyways, I think we're better in the conversation here. I think I let too much slip.
It's no big deal. But indeed, I've had a good time tonight. I'm glad we were able to go over stuff for anybody who might actually hear this part. Just so you know, I am attending the SmackDown ECW House Show in Canton, Ohio tomorrow night. I will be at the Royal Rumble. I have plans 2008. I have several indie shows already lined up. And down the line, I have 2 other pay-per-views that are going to be falling pretty close to my backyard.
What, and I take they're all WWE pay-per-views?
Since I have no information on the TNA pay-per-view list, I do have listings for all of the WWE pay-per-views and discovered that SummerSlam and Unforgiven are both within 3 hours of me.
Nice.
One's in Indianapolis and one's in Cleveland. I'm there.
I know you'll probably hit up the Cleveland one.
The Indianapolis one isn't a horrible drive. The Conseco Fieldhouse is not a great place for recruiting. I don't think I've ever recruited there.
I don't know why they keep on going to the Conseco Fieldhouse.
It's not a bad arena. It really isn't. It's a nice place. It's just, like I said, the recruiting, the potential for recruiting there is horrendous. I've gotten several autographs there, but it's very hard for me to get pictures there. I have better luck in Cleveland.
For Unforgiven, or is it SummerSlam?
I keep getting them mixed up, and I don't have the magazine in front of me. I'm pretty sure SummerSlam's going to be in Indianapolis.
Do they still have the Gund Arena?
Well, it's called the Quicken Loans Arena now, but I will call it Gund Arena.
Understandable. Well, let's end this cavalcade of fun. I'm running out of things to say.
Well, we will patch it up from here, from the East Coast. This is Nikki Heyman.
And from the West Coast, this is Robert Q. Seidelman saying good night. And actually, I'm not going to end it.
Oh?
I'm going to let one of our favorite wrestlers this year, Black Machismo Jay Lethal, take us out on one important saying. Do you want to know what that is?
And that is?
Let's see if I can find it. I just got... Pardon me first. That's a 3-second clip. I just got to... Oh, I know how to get to it. Click on Sweeney. Go down. Take it away, Black Machismo. Did you hear that?
Sort of.
All right, let me play it again for you.
Snoop Roberts ruined my wedding.
I'm having trouble understanding him.
Sneak Roberts ruined my wedding.
I'll send this out on a line from Survivor Series, from the strangest promo I've ever heard.
What is that?
From our dear, dear friend, His Majesty, Triple H. Now let's go out there and do something terrible.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.